Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning. It's great to be able to worship with you in person once again, even despite these frustrating procedures that need to occur. We certainly want to resume our children's services and Sunday school and sharing of the communion emblems and shaking hands and sharing hugs. Do y'all miss those things too? Yeah. We certainly want to resume those things in due time, but we can't currently and still maintain the guidelines of our county and city mandates. So here we are, folks. Thank you for using face coverings and physical distancing. My glasses are still fogged up from my face mask. Thank you for checking in with our office on Thursdays to let us know of your attendance plan so that we can maintain building capacity limits. Thank you for letting our ushers dismiss us row by row at the end of our service. And please remember that we do post the audio recording of our full service on our website each Sunday afternoon for those who are unable to attend in person or who simply want to replay the worship experience. And lastly, thank you for your continued financial support so that we can continue to worship here in person as well as maintain our outreach ministries. Our thanks this morning to Brad Zimmerman, who's serving as our music director during Andrew's absence. Our sympathy is extended to Andrew and Raina with the passing of his maternal grandmother, Ruth Bokelman. Her services were held in Beaufort, South Carolina yesterday. Ruth was an accomplished musician and director who inspired Andrew in his lifelong commitment to music and church and theater. Brad Zimmerman is the owner and producer of the Chestnut Fine Arts Center, frequented by many within our fellowship. We extend our prayers to Andrew and Raina and our thanks to Brad. So please welcome Brad as he leads our call to worship this morning.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. If you'll all stand, please, for the call to worship. We will proclaim your greatness, our God and King. Every day we will thank you. We will praise you forever and ever. Great. And we will now sing, O God, our help in ages past, number 67, all stanzas.
O God, our help in ages past, our hope. Stormy blast and our eternity.
bow in a moment of prayer. Loving God, we're grateful for the privilege to be here in person with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We realize, O Lord, our need to practice certain restrictions, yet we feel the loss of a number of traditions we've enjoyed here at Berry for many years. We pray for those who are impacted more directly by the coronavirus, and we pray for those who are fervently working toward a cure. Be with those who dedicate themselves to remain on the front lines, and be with each of us and help us to maintain patience during these trying times. O God, as we begin our worship service this morning, we pray that we may experience the living presence of the ultimate healer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. It is a joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning. It seems a little bit kind of gloomy, doesn't it? You know, we love it when the sun shines through the sanctuary and just fills up the our worship space here this morning. But, you know, we are in need of some rain and hope we might get some of that as the day progresses along here. A number of people for us to remember in prayer as we make our way through this new week. Certainly our sympathy is extended to Andrew and Raina with the loss of Andrew's grandmother. And Joyce, we are certainly mindful of the loss of your mother, Edith, the week prior, keeping your family in prayer. Also, I'm understanding that Dorcas Allen, whom some folks in our congregation may remember, she passed away this past week as well. We want to be lifting up Ken Weaver as he is looking to have that right knee replacement surgery tomorrow, the 28th of September. Jill McCombie, spoke with her last evening, and she was on her way home from North Kansas City Hospital after she had had surgery for some herniated disc, and we hope that she makes a good recovery. She will be out from work until the first part of November, so a lot of rest at home. We want to also be mindful of Jim Frinthrop. And Jim, we're delighted your father's able to be home now. About midweek, he was able to go home with Phyllis, and that's certainly good for both of them. We lift up Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat, and Kelly, we're also lifting up your brother, Brandon, in the midst of concerns that they're facing. We remember Jerry Treese's great-nephew. He's an infant. Kenneth Hoyes is his name. He was born as a twin to his sister, Kimberlyn. Kenneth is dealing with a significant heart defect that is going to require surgery. So very significant concerns at a very young age. We also lift up Edna Williams' great-granddaughter, Caitlin Rodriguez. Caitlin did well with the surgery down in Houston and is making good progress. We rejoice in that. We also continue to remember Judy Settles in the midst of her healing at home, and Betty Donahue's in our prayers. And Ted, we are so delighted you're here. And Ted certainly wishes to express a genuine word of thanks for all the prayers for him and for his nephew, Jeff, both of whom are doing much better here lately. Perla Moore asked that we pray for her niece, Michelle, and her friend, Mary Ann Sales. We continue to remember J.C. Riddle and Pam Roberts. We lift up Dave and Ardith Haynes' nephew, Kent, Susan Hank's daughter, Candace. We lift up Michelle Jacobo, Lana's daughter, Amy, and Debbie. Again, your father, Ferris, continues to be in our prayers for his good recovery. So with all these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer you praise for the privilege to assemble in your house of worship. Hearing and reciting your word gives us assurance. Visiting with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ reminds us that we are not alone. Sitting in this hallowed place of worship helps us feel your constancy. Offering up our prayers assures us that you listen and care for each of us personally. As the weeks of the coronavirus restrictions pass from days to weeks to months and maybe even into next year, we find ourselves soldiering on, striving to dutifully abide by the guidelines in hopes that we can do our part to not spread an illness that has caused the loss of over 200,000 citizens in our country and over 990,000 people worldwide. We pray for those mourning the loss of loved ones from this illness, as we also continue to pray for the multitudes affected by job losses, the losses of homes, businesses, and communities in the western states from fires, and in the southeastern states from hurricane force winds and floodwaters. Through the haze of challenges in this year of 2020, we wonder whose hand we dare take in hopes of finding solace and guidance. Yet our faith in you, O God, reminds us that your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 12, that he is the light of the world, and in John 12, verse 46, that he is the one who came into the world as light, so that whoever believes in him may not remain in darkness. Thus may it be, O God, that we spiritually embrace the hand of our Lord Jesus, that we find the resolve to step forward with confidence, knowing that the victory is already won over sin and death and any challenge or tragedy we may face. And may we thus also have the assurance, as Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to let our light shine before others, so that your glory may offer hope and assurance to others by the example we portray. In Christ, we offer you praise and confidence as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
While we can't physically gather at the table today, nor can we pass the communion elements of the bread and the wine, we find meaning during this time of our service and our community reflection. May we turn to the first inside page of our bulletins, toward the bottom of the page. As for you, continue in the truths you were taught and firmly believe. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. Our hymn of contemplation is number 628, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. We will sing stanzas 1 and 3.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn.
scripture reading I'd like to share with you is 2 Timothy, the third chapter. We're looking at verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in the truths that you were taught and firmly believe. You know who your teachers were, and you remember that ever since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're grateful for the privilege to once again be in your house, to be inspired by your word and by the examples of fellow believers who have gone before us. And even as Timothy was indeed so very much inspired by the life and words of Paul, Lord, also, we know that he found guidance through the word, as we can as well. It's in Christ's name we give thanks for the day and the privilege to worship you. Amen. It is the early spring season of 68 AD, and the Apostle Paul is imprisoned in Rome. The writing is on the wall, and the disposition of the Roman Emperor Nero prompts Paul to believe his time remaining on earth is fast coming to a close. Paul writes one last letter that we know of, which becomes a part of the canonized New Testament. Knowing his time is short, Paul writes in the fourth chapter of this letter, "As for me, the hour has come for me to be sacrificed. The time is here for me to leave this life. I have done my best in the race. I have run the full distance. I have kept the faith." Paul writes this final letter to one particular evangelist, 12 years his junior, Timothy. Thus, this letter is simply called 2 Timothy. Paul shared nearly 20 years of his missionary life with Timothy, sometimes sharing in very risky life and death circumstances as they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the Roman Empire. Paul met Timothy around 48 AD when Paul was on his first missionary journey, which included parts of Asia Minor and what is now Turkey. Paul must have been touched by the spiritual disposition that seemed inherent in Timothy at a very young age. Paul was inspired by the fact that Timothy had been nurtured at a very young age by his Jewish mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. It was said that the early teaching of a Jewish child was so greatly emphasized in a devout Jewish family that it would be easier for a child to forget one's own name than to forget the teachings of the Torah. As Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, "I remember the sincere faith you have, the kind of faith that your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice also had. I am sure that you have it also." In 51 AD, Paul has Timothy join him on his second missionary journey along with Silas and Luke the physician. The spiritual and personal relationship that Paul shared with Timothy was so unique that Paul used many distinctive words to refer to Timothy throughout his letters. Here in 2 Timothy, Paul calls Timothy his dear son in the introduction, and also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 22, Paul writes, You yourselves know how Timothy has proved his worth, how he and I, like a son and his father, have worked together for the sake of the gospel. In Romans and in 1 Thessalonians, Paul calls Timothy a fellow worker. And in Corinthians and in Colossians, he refers to Timothy as a brother in Christ. On several occasions in 2 Timothy, Paul writes in such a personal way, it sounds more like a father writing to a son rather than a business associate writing to a fellow co-worker, or even one Christian writing to another person of faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes, I remember always you. I remember you in my prayers, night and day. And as a word of encouragement, later on in the second chapter, the first verse, he says, be strong through the grace that is ours in union with Christ Jesus. And throughout 2 Timothy, Paul even encourages Timothy to come and see him. You know, you ever have that happen, you know, with your parents, your grandparents? They say, you're talking to them on the phone, when are you going to come and see me? When are you going to come and see me, right? Remember that? Here we have Paul in prison. He knows his time is short, and he's saying to Timothy, come and see me. In fact, as we look at 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the fourth verse, he says, I want to see you very much so I may be filled with joy. Now that is a profound relationship, isn't it? And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul is so hopeful of Timothy's visit that he even requests Timothy to help him with some personal errands. Paul writes, when you come, bring my coat that I left in Troas with Carpus, and bring the books too, and especially the ones made of parchment. You see how personal that is? Again, how much Paul is even willing to rely upon Timothy to help with personal matters. Even as Paul concludes this very personal letter to his dear son in the faith, he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21, do your best to come before winter. Now that would have been the winter of 68 AD. But sadly, that winter season never came for Paul, and Paul never saw Timothy again. For in the late spring of 68 AD, Roman Emperor Nero had Paul put to death along with a number of other Christian believers, using Christians as scapegoats for the fire back on the 15th of July, 64 AD, that burned through Rome, possibly even sat at Nero's command. The Roman Senate, tired of Nero, declared him to be a public enemy. Nero fled, and on the 9th of June of that year, 68, at the age of 30, he committed suicide. Focusing again on 2 Timothy, as Paul knew his time was short, he writes this most personal letter to Timothy, and in doing so, he also wants to offer much advice, realizing that these may well be the very last words he is able to convey to the younger evangelist and dear friend of the Christian faith. As a personal, spiritual guide to Timothy, Paul writes in the beginning section of the portion of this letter that is the focus of our 3:16 text for this morning. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, he says, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, and my purpose in life, which of course was to be a living witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And Paul reminds Timothy that this journey will not be a safe one. It will not be without strife. As he continues in the 12th verse, everyone who wants to live a godly life in union with Christ will be persecuted. And evil persons and imposters will keep going from bad to worse. This Paul certainly knew, even as Paul and Simon Peter and many other believers were ultimately martyred for their belief in Christ. And Paul reminds Timothy again about the faith that came to him early in life through the inspiration of his grandmother and his mother. Again, that 14th verse. As for you, continue in the truths that you were taught and firmly believe. You know who your teachers were. Of course, early in life, they were Lois and Eunice, were they not? And then we see Paul moving away from the example of himself and Timothy's closest relatives. For Paul realizes that there is an even more steadfast avenue of truth and certainty that Timothy can rely upon even as the going gets tougher. Paul continues writing in the 15th verse, and you remember that ever since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then Paul writes our 3:16 verse for this morning that is so much an anchor for our understanding of the Scriptures. Paul writes, all Scripture is inspired by God. Some versions say it is breathed by God, and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living. And all of those words speak for themselves. There's no need to go back and trace the Greek or anything. I think you pretty much understand what is being said there. That Scripture is powerful. It's useful for teaching us the truth of our faith, rebuking our errors, correcting our faults, and giving us the instructions we need to live the right kind of life that brings glory to God's kingdom here on earth. It may well be that Lois and Eunice had already passed on into the Lord's presence by the time Paul wrote 2 Timothy. For Paul refers to them in the past. Their guidance is now only a memory. And even as Paul realizes that he is living on very much borrowed time, Paul's presence also for Timothy will soon be only a memory. Paul focuses Timothy's attention on the one source of truth and assurance that Timothy can rely upon for the duration of his life: God's holy word. Have you known very precious people in your life who relied upon the word of God for their guidance, for their assurance? You know, my grandmother was like that. She not only read the Bible, she talked the Bible. She could quote text. It was that good Baptist upbringing that she had, you know. She just knew texts left and right. But she would make reference to them as she was going through the day. And she read her Bible faithfully day in and day out. And so at the time that she was nearing her own passing into the Lord's presence, she had this wealth of Scripture to draw upon. Joyce, I remember you talking with me this past week about your mother and how she was cognizant enough to just lift up praise, right? What a glorious example that is, right? We praise God for that. And so we need to be immersed in the Word of God. For you know, people's examples may often fail us, for we are all indeed human. We have our foibles and our frailties. Paul knew that. And Paul knew that even as his life was coming to an end, he needed to point Timothy, young Timothy, in a new direction of just simply focusing on the Word of God, which had been such a stalwart part of his life ever since his early childhood. And then, of course, there's the final verse of our text today. Paul tells us why the truths told in Scripture are so very important, because they equip us for all kinds of good work for the glory of God's kingdom. Paul writes in that 17th verse, "All Scripture is inspired by God," we've already said that, "so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good work." And good work Timothy certainly did. Timothy was likely 51 years of age at the time of Paul's death. He soldiered on in his task of sharing the gospel news, and he became the first Christian bishop of Ephesus. He, like Paul, was also persecuted and put to death for his faith. Tradition has it that Timothy, at the age of 80, in 87 AD, tried to halt a procession that was honoring the pagan goddess Diana by preaching the gospel in front of them. The angry pagans beat him, dragged him through the streets, and stoned him to death. Today's story of Timothy and Paul reminds us, too, that we can be truly inspired by significant people of faith in our lives, but in the end, also, the truth of our faith, the true path of salvation, is to be found in our understanding and our conviction of the Scriptures, right? And so today, we add yet another precious 3:16 verse to our arsenal, do we not? 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living." Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? If you don't, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 190. In the flyer of your bulletin, "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus." We'll sing all stanzas, please. Number 190.
"Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear things I would ask him to tell. Shall fancy his blessing resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, all in the love light of Jesus' face. Into the city I'd follow, branch of the palm tree high in my hand. One of his arrows, yes, I would sing. Loudest hosannas, is King.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as you journey forward with the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house. Guide us this day and always. As we know, we are guided not only by your Holy Spirit and the inspiration of dear fellow believers, but we are also inspired by the guidance of your word that is the stalwart of our faith and trust. It's in Christ's name we give thanks as we depart. Amen.